This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. We search high and low for Michigan artisans. This time we found some in a shop tucked away in a light manufacturing area west of Ann Arbor.
Hey, I'm Mike Cameron. I'm the CEO of Dogmite Games.
And I'm Michael Konis. I'm the CBO of Dogmite Games.
What does that even mean?
I don't really know.
Mike and Michael are the creative forces behind Dogmite Games. A dog, by the way, greets you at the door when you visit. Dogmite doesn't have customers, it has fans. And Dogmite Games fans named the rescue Sawdust, which is pretty fitting for a woodshop that makes game pieces, right? So how did these two get into this?
Mike and I have known each other for almost 12 years, something like that now, and we game together. So when I met Mike with some mutual friends, and we started playing, you know, kind of nerdy games. And we were sitting there one night, you know, having a beer, kind of brainstorming, like, wouldn't it be cool to make a game that our friends would like? And it just so happened, we live out in Pinckney on the chain of lakes and do a lot of boating. So we thought, hey, let's make a game about, you know, being on a pontoon boat, drinking some beers. And we this half-baked idea turned into our first card game, Lake Billy. And we spent... How long did we spend on that?
Way too long. Way too long.
Way too long? You were probably, we took a year to draw all those,
yes,
those cards?
Yeah, I think I did 150 illustrations. Had never done digital illustration before.
Yeah.
And kind of learned along the way of creating.
Yeah, and so this half-baked idea kind of turned into our first published game, which was great. I still
the
have...
Game wasn't. The game was
the
terrible.
The game wasn't
the game
great.
Was awful.
The experience was good. I think we still have 200 in a closet here somewhere. And after that, we created a second game, which was Livestock Uprising. And kind of as an afterthought, we made these small wooden accessories for the game. We're like, you know, we crowdfunded it, and we were like, oh, we have this thing, and let's do something extra. And we ended up with, you know, these little wooden pieces. And lo and behold, the wooden stuff was far more popular than our games.
As I understand it, you found out people were pulling out these wooden card holders and throwing the games away? Is that right?
We don't know if... We don't have evidence of that directly, but that's what we think happened based on some of the reviews
of
the games. And
that's complimentary in its own way, right? Yeah. So we kind of... We did a bit of a pivot there. I've been, you know, a hobby woodworker most of my adult life, and so we started in my garage. To my wife's chagrin, we kind of walled off a spot in the back, probably, 600 or 700 square feet?
Tops, yeah. I think it was 12 by 40, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe?
This really tiny spot, and we started, you know, taking a real look at this. And it turns out that it was, you know, what we were making was popular enough that we could do it. We were like, hey, we got something here. And I think that year we really took a hard look at it, and we were working nights and weekends and things like that.
Well, what was your day jobs before this?
Oh, I'm a programmer by trade.
I was an art professor at Eastern Michigan University.
Yeah, so it's been a bit of an interesting stretch for us.
There have been very few stories about artisans where I've been so out of my element. I'm not a gamer. I mean, I've played Apples to Apples and Monopoly with the kids, but that's about it. So this idea of dice with more than six sides and dice chests and dice towers, dragon sheaths, storage chests made of hardwood, some with inlays, 3D sculpting, engravings. It's a little bit more than I was aware even existed. My game boards are cardboard.
Well, we're kind of brutes, and I'm a terrible klutz. I don't think we can make anything that's kind of light and not strong enough to deal with it. We game ourselves all the time still. And we want something that's kind of heirloom quality that's going to put up with, you know, people spilling drinks on it at the table, and you can throw in your backpack and use once a week for the, you know, years to come. And our stuff's heavy. It's sturdy. And it's...
And you've got some... I was looking around at the hardwood. I mean, you've got some quality stuff there, too.
Yeah, and you know, Mike and I are both creative people, and we tend to really try to kind of push the envelope. So, like, some of the stuff that you've seen, you know, we're doing, like, the 3D sculpting, and we're... Mike mixes his own pigments, and we'll stain wood purple.
Yeah, art professor.
Yeah, exactly. And we often say, you know, we're not your grandfather's woodworkers, so we like to kind of really push the envelope of what that is. And we get ideas from our customers and from the people who work here, and we'll take anything and meld it together and come up with something really unique and almost like a little artistic, right?
Yeah.
Not only is Dogmite Games often crowdfunded, it's crowd directed to a certain degree.
We have a lot of fans out there, and we adore them. We have our own forums now, and they throw us ideas. So anything new is really the bestseller at any moment. We had the Component Collector, which was an amazing hit. We crowdfunded that as well. I think we sold over 5,000 units in about 28 days on 1 month period. And we'll be making those for a while yet. That's part of our main process of production right now is producing those and getting those out to our Kickstarter backers.
As the business has grown, Mike and Michael spend less time hands-on on the pieces they sell, but that frees them up to be more creative, think about new offerings, and teach others how to do the woodwork.
Mentorship is part of our DNA here. We want everybody in the shop to be able to do every job in the shop. So we cross-train everybody in every position and every skill set, part of their moving from apprentice to woodworker, and it's vital here. We need it.
Annie Baker is one of the artisans working in the shop.
I was an art major back in college, so it was something that I thought, you know, it wouldn't hurt to hone my skills. I need a job, so we'll see what happens. And it turns out the community was really great, and I really enjoy doing it. So I love working with my hands, so it was awesome.
Is woodworking a skill that you, was a hobby of yours or a pursuit of yours prior to this?
No, before this I had never done any woodworking. I was a printmaker, so I did like relief cuts, so I had some experience with how to chop some wood down, some sanding, but never to like this degree. I've never built a box before, I've never had to plane things or mill things down, so it was a lot of new things I had to learn to come in here. But yeah, no, I love it and I'm happy I did it.
Michael Konis says one of the things that makes Dogmite games so popular is the flexibility. There are so many choices available on stock, or you can submit your own ideas, and they can probably make it work.
I think one of the things our fans like best about our company is that it feels like it's a custom wood shop for whatever it is that you want. It's based on the character that you play in a game or the games that you play at your table. You can get something that's thematically ideal for what you want. Pretty remarkable, and that's one of the things we really hold to going forward.
Michael Konis and Mike Cameron are the co-founders of Dogmite Games, makers of custom tabletop gaming hardware, and our latest Artisans of Michigan. Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.